I'm Sonia Shaw, and I'm writing a book on the politics and history of malaria, and I'm also the creator of a new website called resurgentmalaria.com.
And can you tell me why you created this site?
Well, the site is sort of an intervention into the popular debate about malaria, which I feel like I've been looking into the politics and history of malaria for about 3 years now. And as a journalist, I felt that the sort of popular coverage of malaria is really very simplified, you know, sort of painted as, you know, a failure of charity. Like if we give $5 for a bandnet, we can end this horrible disease. Or if we just step up funding for vaccines, we can end this disease. And it's and as I looked into the malaria story more, it became clear that even people inside the malaria community, the experts and the people who are working on the front lines know that, you know, it's much more complex than that. It's sort of like saying the problem with AIDS and HIV is that we haven't donated enough money for condoms, for example, which, you know, of course we need more condoms, but the whole problem is a lot more complicated and entrenched than that. So the website is sort of trying to bring out some of those other angles on the story.
And what do you hope to get out of having the site out there?
Well, for one thing, I hope it will be a resource for journalists who are writing about malaria. I also hope to start a conversation with readers and lay people and other people who are just interested in learning about this disease, not just because, you know, because they're concerned about malaria. That might be part of it, but also because I think the story of malaria and how this disease has sort of haunted us for so long teaches us about a lot of other things about ourselves, you know, about poverty and resource allocation and environmental disruption and all these other things. So it's sort of an interesting way into a lot of other issues, too.
When talking about malaria, why do you think it's still such a big problem? And
well, that's kind of the million-dollar question, I guess. I mean, I don't have any answers to that. Obviously, my point is simply that we don't know. I mean, there's just so many different reasons. It's not just one thing. I mean, I think the way it's been portrayed, and I think this is partly because malaria has been such a neglected disease for so long that sources for reporters who want to write about it are, you know, NGOs who need more money and scientists who need more grants. So, you know, there's this perspective of kind of simplifying the story that just, you know, just do this one thing and we'll solve this problem. Just give us more money for bandnets or more money for vaccine research or more money for drug distribution or whatever it is. So I think it's the story's been simplified. I don't know what the answer is, why we still have malaria, but I think it's a much bigger problem than just give us $5 for a bednet.
The Millennium Development Goal, the UN Development Goal?
Yes.
How big an impact do you think malaria has when talking about reaching the goals?
Well, you know, I don't know specifically, but obviously every place where malaria has been controlled and eventually eradicated, you know, all these other things happen afterwards. You know, we have when you take malaria out of, say, Central Africa during when there was mining in Central Africa by the British, all cause mortality went down. So they got rid of the malaria and all the other things disappeared too. We know in like the U.S. South and the history of malaria leaving the U.S. South in the 1920s and 1930s, this is before DDT, you know, people became more prosperous. There was better development. And whether you can say one thing leads to the other, they both go together. You know, I think that's really hard to tease apart, but certainly malaria, you know, it's a disease, it's a social disease, it's a disease of poverty. So these things are all wrapped together.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Anne.